Rose puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago. Looking forward to this one. Gordon Goldsborough joins us now for Abandoned Manitoba. Hi, Gordon.
Good morning, Nadia.
What are we talking about this week?
Well, this series is called Abandoned Manitoba because we talk about things that have changed. Well, in some cases, things that have been abandoned completely. So today, we're discussing an abandoned form of government that takes us back to the very beginning of Manitoba as a province in Canada, when we had a bicameral form of government. We're talking about the short-lived Legislative Council of Manitoba.
So what is a bicameral form of government?
Well, if we think about the federal government in Canada, it consists of two assemblies, the House of Commons, which of course is elected by our citizens, and the Senate, appointed by the Crown. The situation is quite similar in the United States, and it has, of course, the elected Congress and the elected Senate. Both countries, of course, have this similarity because they're modeled on the British parliamentary system with its elected House of Commons and its appointed House of Lords. Now, these are all bicameral forms of government, by, of course, meaning two, and the idea is that one assembly serves as a check on the other. You know, the Canadian Senate, for example, is often described as providing sober second thought to propose legislation from the House of Commons. In contrast, a unicameral legislature has a single elected assembly that makes all lawmaking decisions.
So Manitoba has a unicameral legislature.
Yeah, that's right. And we're like the other nine Canadian provinces, all of which have unicameral forms of government. In contrast, in the United States, only one, the state of Nebraska, has a unicameral legislature. All 49 other states, including our immediate neighbors to the south, are bicameral. They each have an upper chamber, usually called a Senate.
And you said earlier that Manitoba used to be bicameral. Why was that?
Well, I suppose it's because when our government was being formed in Manitoba, it was created, of course, by the federal government. The government followed its own model. You know, it was bicameral at the federal level, so I guess they just thought it was logical to carry on the same system. So in March of 1871, Manitoba's newly installed Lieutenant Governor, Adams Archibald, proclaimed the formation of the Legislative Council of Manitoba. Now, it was smaller than the Legislative Assembly. It had seven members. And what's interesting, I think, is they were all appointed for life. In other words, they would serve until they died. All of them had been prominent in community affairs in Manitoba before it joined Confederation. And I suppose the virtue of that is that having prominent people meant they provided, well, I guess you could think of it as institutional knowledge and stability to the new provincial government. Not surprisingly, its members were all men, because, of course, at that time, that was the norm. Four of them were born in the area that would become the Prairie Provinces, some from Manitoba itself, some from further west. Of the other three, one was from Scotland, one from Ireland, and one from Ontario. There were Francophones and Anglophones in the mix, including at least two Métis members. Of the councillors, James Mackay, or Mackay, depending on your pronunciation, was appointed the president and speaker of the council. He had no vote, except to break a tie, because, of course, if there's seven of them altogether and one's non-voting, that means there's six, and you could therefore have a 3-3 tie. The other six councillors, well, they represented the major communities in the new province: Kildonan, Portage-la-Prairie, St. Andrews, St. Norbert, White Horse Plains, and, of course, Winnipeg.
And where did the Legislative Council meet?
Well, you have to keep in mind that when Manitoba became a province, there was no legislative building. For the first 2 years of its existence, then, the Legislative Council met in a building at the corner of Main Street and McDermott Avenue. The building is long gone. It belonged at that time to a merchant named Andrew Bannatyne, for which Bannatyne Avenue is named. When that building was destroyed by fire in 1873, they moved into a newly built provincial courthouse, a two-story wooden building at the corner of Main and William. And of course, it's also gone today. That's where the council operated until its demise. But as early as 1873, less than 2 years after the council came into existence, a newspaper editorial was already calling for the abolition of the council.
Why was that?
Well, I think the feeling was that Manitoba simply could not afford two legislative assemblies. When Manitoba joined Confederation, it got a rather different deal than the other provinces. Manitoba's government was not given authority over the province's natural resources, things like minerals and timber, that would ordinarily give it a base of revenue. It would take 60 years, in fact, before Manitoba gained this fundamental right in 1930. So instead, the government was given a grant by the federal government that represented over 90% of its operating revenue. And as we might imagine, the grant was never enough. And as historian Gerald Friesen describes in his recent book about the early Premier John Norquay, the Manitoba government was continually on the verge of financial ruin. Manitoba premiers made frequent trips to Ottawa to beg the federal government, please give us more money to meet our financial responsibilities. Well, in 1874, a newly elected legislative assembly pledged they were going to pass an act to abolish the Legislative Council as a cost-cutting measure. The proposed act was passed by the Legislative Assembly, but of course the system requires approval by both assemblies, and, well, maybe not surprisingly, it was rejected by the Legislative Council. Yeah, I guess they just weren't going to vote themselves out of existence. So the plan went nowhere.
So what happened next?
Well, the Legislative Assembly tried again the next year, 1875, and this time its proposed act was passed unanimously by the Legislative Assembly. Of course, then it went on to the Legislative Council, and the vote was split 3-3. The deciding vote, therefore, fell to the Speaker, and he voted against it. One person was managed to kill it, and so again, the Legislative Council lived on.
And how did the Legislative Council finally end?
Well, in January 1876, the Premier informed the Legislative Assembly that the province's revenue, well, was derived almost entirely from the issuance of marriage and liquor licenses and fees for legal documents. And revenue was declining because, if you think about it, 1876, the city of Winnipeg had just recently been incorporated, and therefore the right to issue liquor permits had gone to the new city. And so they had lost that source of additional revenue. That year, 1875, the total provincial revenue was $7,000. The expenses, $86,000. In other words, there was a huge deficit that can only be addressed by more begging to the federal government. So they did that. They went and begged. The federal government responded that, well, you know, Manitoba should undertake a little belt tightening. You know, that could start, they said, with the abolition of the Legislative Council. So the Legislative Assembly duly passed another act, and again, a unanimous vote. And again, the vote at the Legislative Council was tied. But this time, the Speaker voted in favor of the act, and with a single vote, the Legislative Council disappeared. The 4th of February, 1876, Manitoba now had a unicameral legislature. Well, of course, we've had 150 years of experience that shows that, well, unicameral legislatures work just fine. So I would say, let's celebrate what makes Canada great, and I would say also fiscally responsible, including our unicameral form of provincial government.
Thanks for this, Gordon. What's up for next week?
Well, it's sometimes said that Canadian history is boring because we don't have the kind of wildly colorful characters that the United States seems to have in abundance, at least if you believe the stories emanating from Hollywood. Personally, I think we Canadians simply haven't done a good enough job in drawing attention to some of our more weird and wonderful people of the past, well, including Winnipeg's first mayor. So that will be our theme next week.
Look forward to it. Thanks, Gordon.
Bye-bye for now.
No matter where I go, every time the wind blows, puts me back in Manitoba many moons ago.